Greetings. You are listening live to the Scriptures Alone Bible School here on BBS Radio. The Scriptures Alone Bible School is a Bible teaching ministry where the Scriptures alone are all authority and are taught correctly by Martin Richling. Therefore, with King James Bibles open and believing hearts, hearken now unto the words of God.
Well, greetings indeed. This is Martin Richling from the Scriptures Alone Bible School here live on BBSRadio.com, the only place where you can find the teachings of the Scriptures Alone Bible School. And that is because if it's not mainstream, it's on BBS Radio, and that's why we're here. So we're happy to be here as we are Monday through Friday at this same time. So do we encourage you to go to our website, thescripturesalonebibleschool.net. Check out some of the pages there. It explains what we're doing here at BBS Radio, trying to accomplish over the next, Lord willing, many days, months, and years ahead. It is Thursday, February 3rd, 2011. That means we are in our Bible school portion of lessons. We are in lesson number 3, currently in the book of Romans. So why don't we go there? And I am thankful that all of you put up with the raspy voice I had the past few days, and as quick as it came on Sunday, it seems now today was a much better day, and finally the fever is gone. Just now, just took the temperature about an hour ago, and it's back to normal. Although, I'm not normal, but at least my temperature reads normal, so I have some evidence. Okay, all right, Romans chapter 1. Now remember, in review, what we are trying to accomplish here is the establishing of people in the Word of God, not just any person, but believers. And what God does first in the book of Romans is he starts to explain unto you the glad tidings concerning his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and how every person born into this world can know for sure that when they die, they're going to go to heaven and be in paradise. That's what it's called in the Scriptures, paradise, the third heaven. It's funny, I was just talking to Seth prior to the broadcast, and they are out in Paradise, California. And as he described it unto me, I told him, boy, if I ever make a road trip, I'd like to come visit y'all out there, and it sounded beautiful. So probably on earth it is pretty close, but the paradise we're talking about is the one up above in the third heaven. And when we get there in the book of Ephesians and Colossians and study exactly from the Bible how the universe is shaped, you will see there is a first heaven. That's where the birds fly. You will see there's a second heaven, what we call outer space. And beyond that, there's this great body of water, a sea. And this deep, the bottom of it is frozen. And when you go through that sea, you're in the third heaven, Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, where God Almighty dwells and all of the hosts that serve him continuously. So as we learn these things, back to planet Earth now, let's go to the book of Romans. And we saw an introduction. We got right at the beginning where the Apostle Paul started to explain his great desire to preach the gospel to the believers at Rome. And you're saying, well, what did they need to hear it for? They were already saved people. Well, yes, they were. But they needed to then be established in Paul's gospel. So this gospel now that the Apostle Paul begins to speak and teach in Romans 1, you're going to see some interesting things, and again, I beg you to just open your hearts and to be open to what the Bible says. So at least if you go through school, at least a good portion of it, if you decide then to reject the Bible, that's your free will choice, and I won't be angry. I'll be sad, but I won't be angry at you, and I'll be sad for you because I want you to experience real joy, real happiness, real peace. Something that when you're on your deathbed and your eyes are closing in death, something then, because you're going to be all by yourself now, something then that you can hold on to, something you can anchor your soul in. That sounds pretty good, eh? It is. All right, so let's go on here. Romans chapter 1, let's start right in around verse 14. We'll get the context and we'll be moving on. Romans 1:14. And again, if you're just joining us today for the first time live, I encourage you strongly, get the archives. Go to BBS Radio and get the archives and subscribe to them. These messages are very valuable and you'll have access to all of them, all the archives of BBS Radio if you choose to listen to them as well. So I encourage you to get there and listen. And because this is school and each lesson builds one upon another, just like school. You know, speaking of school, I can remember being in Mrs. Goldbeck's class in third grade. And I can remember because we had a problem in the Chicago Public Schools. Well, imagine that, huh? And she was brought in the last half of the year, and Mrs. Mizak was kicked out the first half or something like that, where they mixed up teachers. One of the teachers forgot to teach us how to write in cursive. You know, today we don't do anything like that. Now everyone types emails with funny symbols like FYI, you know, but we actually had to learn how to write. And I never learned how to write cursive. So then when I moved into the fourth grade, not knowing how to write cursive, I was really a step behind the class, me and others too. So, and I still, if you look at my penmanship now, well, I really never did learn. So, but really, who writes out cursive? Who writes letters anymore? And if you do, what's wrong with printing? You know, we just type. All right. So you want to get the lessons because this is school and you want to learn them. And plus, when you have them, you go to the archives. BBS has made it really convenient. You can either listen to them or you can even download them. So you can have them and listen again and again because we're going to go over a lot of information. And this way, what I want you to do is get the information. If it's too much for you, well, listen to the archive, pause it, stop, go back, write the things down, check it out. Compare it in the scriptures to see if these things are true or not. And if you have questions along the way, you can email me. Our information is on the website, or you can call me. My phone number's there. I would be more than happy to take your call and help you to understand the scriptures. Okay? All right. Romans 1:14. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, here's something you need to remember, because when we start in verse 18, you're going to be scratching your head. Because remember, we define gospel as glad tidings of good things? Well, then why does Paul start in verse 18 with the wrath of God? That doesn't sound like glad tidings of good things. We'll explain that when we get there in just a short bit now. But he says here, when he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The reason the apostle Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because this message about Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Now let's look at the back half of that verse, unto salvation. What is salvation? What type of salvation is the Apostle Paul talking about? Well, it's actually twofold. Let's look at the one that everyone seems to understand. Go to Revelation chapter 20, or if you don't have a Bible, if you're just, you know, sitting there and you don't have a Bible, that's okay. I'll just read you the verses. And here, there's another good thing. You can go get one later, listen to the archives, and see if I missed a word. You know, yesterday I was so dizzy, I actually did the broadcast with my eyes closed. Because every time I opened my eyes, even though I was sitting down, I got dizzy. So I really was just going off of the verses as I was looking at the verses in my mind and was teaching you from memory. So if I missed a word, you all need to call me. Say, hey, you missed that word. Okay? Revelation chapter 20, look at verse 11. Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Now let me tell you, you do not want to be here standing before God. Let's see why. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now this is the salvation, the one part of the salvation God's talking about in Romans 1. Let's see it. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, doesn't that seem horrible and harsh? It is. But that is because the Lord Jesus Christ, hanged, crucified, took all of this horrible wrath for you, so you wouldn't have to go here. So God did not spare his own son. He surely will not spare transgressors of his law who have rejected his son and the payment his son made for them. Notice, though, verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, a guy just yesterday emailed me and said, I don't believe that verse is true. And I wrote back, I said, okay, do me a favor. Read it again and tell me if it changed. So, you know, I never heard back from him, but you get the point. You don't have to believe the verse. That's your free will choice. But as much as you don't believe it, you notice how I'm staring at the verse now. It's not changing, no matter if I believe it, which I do, or if someone doesn't believe it, which this man did not. It still doesn't change what's written. You know, the amazing thing about truth is this. When truth is involved, it is never dependent upon whether the recipients or the listeners believe it, because you can never alter truth. There's a great passage of Scripture that says, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Okay? So if I was just talking about something earthly here, like, you know, here, let me tell you guys, I think the best way for you to grow a vegetable garden is this. Or, I think the best food you can eat to remain healthy on this planet is this. All those are fine and well, but I'm not talking to you about earthly things, because we could have differ and sundry opinions, and we can differ till the day ends and a new day begins. It won't change the fact that all of us, 100 years from now, Lord willing, are not going to be here. If the Lord tarries and doesn't come back, we're not going to be here. This body I'm in, it's going to be worm food. The worms will feed sweetly on my carcass when I die. That's what the book of Job says. And my soul will be somewhere. I was looking at one of the programs on BBS, and they were saying how they were interested in, like, the afterlife. And I was totally in agreement. I wanted to listen. I didn't have time. But they were talking about some things and evidence of the afterlife. And I totally agree. There is an afterlife, because they were saying you're not your body. And we are not. So, if we're not our bodies, and we're not, and God is talking about a salvation program, and he is, I want you to look at verse 15 and think of it this way. What happens if it is true? Can you afford that verse to be true? I mean, think about it. Here's the worst case scenario. If you do become a believer and you believe in Jesus Christ and have faith in his blood as the payment for your sins, this is what's going to happen to you. You're going to have joy, peace, and happiness in this world. God is going to show you how to come all of daily life problems, how to overcome them with joy and happiness. And then at the end, it's all heaven. Now, that just sounds like a horrible deal, doesn't it? Dang. Man, I need to find a better one. But anyways, you get my point. In all seriousness, which I am seriousness, I'm just trying to appeal to your reasoning. This Bible is true. And the salvation God is talking about, what the Apostle Paul is talking about, is from the lake of fire. So when he says in Romans that he is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, it's going to take power to save your soul from a destiny headed for total destruction in hell first, then the great white throne, then the lake of fire. Something has got to stop that. And the power of God was demonstrated at the cross. In the middle of that path that we all were on at one point, some may be on still, most are on still. I was on. Stands Jesus Christ crucified. So what are you going to do with him? Okay? Now, the salvation isn't just eternal, which is great enough. But it's also when he says, you know, the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's the power of God unto salvation. It's also for salvation from the daily problems of life. For example, here's one that's been real recent. You know, I've never been sick like I have been sick, and then I got several emails from people hoping that I would feel better, and that's okay, and I know they meant well. But I was really thinking deep down, you know, in 2 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul, who I'm commanded to follow, is telling me to take pleasure in my infirmities, knowing that when I'm weak, then is Christ in me made strong. And that's why he took pleasure, knowing that God's grace was sufficient. And I also know that another portion in the scripture says that how it works for us in far more an exceeding eternal weight of glory, these eternal rewards, if you go through the sickness joyfully. Okay? Now, I went through it as best I could mentally and tried to hang in there. My only concern was that I'd be able to speak. That's all I cared about. I didn't care how I felt, although it didn't feel good. So the Bible does have answers for everyday life. And here's something that should be very enticing to you. When we get to Romans chapter 5, I'm going to show you, there's a friend of mine that her and her husband, she's a psychologist. In fact, they moved out to California. And I don't know exactly where, though, but I used to train their dogs. And she was a psychologist, and she went through all of this study. And she told me one day, after all of her years of study, that one day she was depressed and she applied everything she learned to her own self, and it really didn't help her that much. Well, I'll be able to show you in 5 verses in the book of Romans, God has a complete program for you on how to handle life's problems. And I'm here to tell you, if that program worked when I was thrown in solitary confinement for not even doing anything, in the hole in federal prison, joyful, reading my Bible in a freezing cold cell, okay, and wrote that song that's on the website where it says Calvary means so much to me, that was written in the hole in solitary and just had a fun time. If it worked there, it'll work for you. Trust me, it will. It works anywhere. So the Bible's going to give you so much for the here and now, okay? And it's not just a book of old stories, okay? So go back to Romans 1. I'm just telling that to encourage you. Remember, I'm not on here teaching the Bible for any other reason other than for you to see these truths, these wonderful truths. I didn't grow up wanting to be a Bible teacher. I liked religion, yes. I was going to be a priest at one time, but my love for music went out and went in the Marine Band. But now, after reading the Bible for my own personal fulfillment, I just see so many folks out there in such need, because I know where you're at. I know where you've been. I know that you want real peace. I know that you want real joy, not just happiness. You know what your happiness is? Happiness sometimes depends upon your happenings. That's why we get happy. Sometimes we're sad. It's usually a circumstantial type of flow. But joy happens all the time. Okay? And I want you to have something real so that when death comes to you one day, you'll have something you can bank and bet and anchor your soul in. Okay? All right. So Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That salvation from this world and all of its problems, also salvation permanently in heaven, and salvation from the lake of fire to everyone that believeth. There's your responsibility. All you have to do is believe it. And we're going to define what believe means. Believe doesn't mean, well, I believe, but I have a little doubt. That's not belief. That's like being a little pregnant if you're a girl. How are you a little pregnant? Okay? No. You're either pregnant or you're not. All right. So let's look at this now. For everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Verse 17 now. For therein, in this gospel message, is the righteousness of God revealed. You see that? God's going to reveal unto you how you can have, now listen very closely, his own righteousness. What does that mean? Well, God has never done anything wrong. His son, the Lord Jesus Christ, never did anything wrong. And that righteousness of Jesus Christ, who came here, lived perfectly, and died without ever having committed a sin, when God sees his son as it thundered from heaven in several times in scripture, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus Christ never sinned, never disappointed his Father. That's because he was perfectly righteous. Guess what God's willing to do? He is willing to take your entire lifetime of sin, all your shortcomings, your faults, even when you've tried to do good and messed up, no matter how bad you are. I don't want to hear that, well, I'm so bad, God can't save me. You can't be any worse than the Apostle Paul out there murdering believers, can you? And even if you were, he can save you. But he's going to take your entire lifetime of sin and swap it out. He's going to remove it from you, and in its place, he's going to impute unto you and give you permanently, watch this, his righteousness. That means when God grants you his righteousness, he's going to look at you as having never sinned. He's going to see you exactly how he sees his son, Jesus Christ, in whom he is very well pleased. And how can he do that? It's called grace. I know we don't deserve it, but that's why I'm so happy to tell you about it. Because that's how much God loves this world. And that's how much he's done. And that's what he offers. So verse 17 is clear. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, God's gospel message is going to reveal unto you now, as we learn its details from this point forward, how you can have his righteousness. And this righteousness is being revealed. It's from faith to faith. What does that mean? Faith to faith? Well, if you look at the mainstream commentaries or things like that, they will tell you it's from generation to generation and so forth, from age to age. Now, you know what? Let me tell you something about God Almighty. He says what he means, and he means exactly what he says. Let me show you an illustration of that. Go back to the book of Joshua. If you don't have a Bible, just listen. Watch how simple this is. You know, the Bible's not hard. It's actually very simple. And that's what I'm so amazed. Because listen, I am no genius. I barely got out of high school. Okay? That's only because I cheated on my chemistry test. Don't tell anybody. Mr. Zeldin may be listening. He may revoke my high school diploma. Okay? I had to. I didn't know it. You know, I had to do what I had to do. I was an unsaved heathen then. I just had to do what I had to do. I had to ad lib. But I got good grades in music, and I made the Marine Band, so all right. Anyways, I'm not a chemist, so don't worry. It's not like I'm out there putting together all these concoctions for some chemical company, and I'm making wrong drugs or something for them. See? I knew I would be no good at chemistry, so I didn't pursue that career. All right, Joshua 13:1. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years. You notice how God says what he means and means what he says exactly according to the facts? Joshua was old and stricken in years, and God said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years. The Lord didn't say, hey, Joshua, as you approach your retirement age, you might want to consider AARP. He didn't water it down. So God says what he means. So when you look back at Romans chapter 1, and he says this gospel of God, this in it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The term faith to faith is very simple to understand, and let's look at it. It's a beautiful term. There's two passages that will help you understand it. One's in Romans 3, the other one's in the book of Galatians, chapter 2. Romans 3, Galatians 2. Romans chapter 3, let's see there when he's talking about the term faith to faith. In Romans chapter 3, look at verse 22. Now, this one is not as easy to understand as the Galatian one. So we'll start with the hard one, and then we'll expound it with the easier verse. So it should really open up. And see, this is a good lesson for you. If you want to know what that if things in the Bible mean, if you don't understand it, that's okay. Just trust the Lord, believe what you're reading, and keep reading, and he'll show you the answer later on down the road. Okay? Because I didn't understand that when I first read it. But then when I saw this several times, I said, oh, well, look at that. That's faith to faith. Romans 3:22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. Watch the term faith to faith. There's two faiths involved. God will give his righteousness when he has two faiths to work with. The first faith he needs is the faith of Jesus Christ. The other faith he needs is our faith in Jesus Christ. Watch it explained simpler in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, look at verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ. You see that? Two faiths, the faith of Christ and our faith in Christ. What does that mean? Well, simple. Think about this. You know, when God sent his son here, the Lord Jesus Christ had free will choice. We already seen how he could have called more than 12 legions of angels to destroy the entire world. But he did not do that, because then the scriptures would not have been fulfilled. But when it says faith, was not the Lord Jesus Christ faithful? I mean, think about it. No matter what you think, let me ask everybody to think this. Now, whether you believe the Bible or not, if there is a heaven, everyone had, and there is, I'm not saying that because there isn't. I just want you all to understand something. So I ask it, if there's a heaven and whatever vision or understanding you have of the afterlife, I guarantee you one thing. Whatever one you've come up with in your mind or you've dreamed of or through your own study, maybe years of study, isn't it better than here? I mean, who would come up with a place called heaven that's worse? I mean, imagine if heaven were this. Well, we're going to get to heaven. We're going to work 80 hours a week at minimum wage, and we're going to it's going to be a worse economy. The crime's going to be worse. I mean, in other words, you see what I'm saying? Heaven has got to be better than where you're at. When people dream, I know there's something in you, isn't it? There's something deep down inside that you want to know about, that you want to believe that indeed there is a heaven. Right? Well, think about the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a heaven. He leaves this perfect splendor and glory and comes down to this dark, sin-cursed, run by Satan world. And he grows up in it. And he lives perfectly. He never breaks one of God's laws. He was tempted in all points like as we are, the Bible says, yet without sin. And he's obedient to the scriptures. His father's will completely. He does that. And he comes down here. And then how about this? All right, say if you don't agree with that. Say, well, I don't know. I think he had bad thoughts about Mary Magdalene, as some of the people I've heard say. Well, you can think that. I choose to believe the Bible. The Bible said he was without sin. Okay? So there's where our free will kicks in. I'll stand with the book. Okay? So, as he lives perfectly, how about this one? Whether you believe the Bible or not, I can go back in historical records in history and find that on a Roman cross, a man called Jesus of Nazareth was crucified by a Roman government under Pontius Pilate, the governor. This has been proven as historical fact. Outside of the Bible, it's historically true. You know, one of the greatest things about the Bible? It's the greatest history book you'll ever read. When it just comes to history of this earth, it's true. Okay? So, he goes all the way to the cross. He's brutalized, murdered, and hung there for 6 hours, writhing in pain. And the whole time, at the end, he knew that everything was accomplished, the scriptures were fulfilled, and he cries out with a loud voice, "It is finished." Then he bows his head and gives up the ghost. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ died there, well, who was dying was him, but he was dying a faithful Savior. That means he was faithful. He went all the way, enduring the shame of Calvary to the end. And that's after living here 33 years. He knew his life would end up crucified. He knew that before he left heaven's glory. So, how many people do you know in your life left everything they had and came down here and did what they did for you when you weren't even born? God knew you'd be born someday. God knew you would break his laws. And God knew the day would come that you'd see a need for a Savior. Well, that's why we're here. Okay? So, we're here to tell you about that great, faithful Savior. So go back to Romans 1. And by the way, after you trust in him, you're going to find out just how faithful he is. Because he'll be there every day with you. As you read his Bible, it'll open up to you. It'll become simple. You'll pray and you'll talk to him and God, your new Father, and all of a sudden, everything will start to be better. internally. You're still going to be in the same wicked world, but it's not going to be the same. Okay? So, yeah, I'm trying to entice you to get saved. Heck, yeah, I am, because I want you to be. Okay, so verse 17 of Romans 1, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So the first faith that God needed was the faith of Jesus Christ. And then it's faith to faith. That second faith is then our faith in Jesus Christ. And when those two faiths come together, the faith of the great and mighty and precious and beautiful Savior, Jesus Christ, when that faith meets with your faith, when the two kiss each other, in fact, it says, kiss the Son. In the Old Testament, now it's something that says, lest he be angry. It's a little different doctrine there, but here, taste and see that the Lord is good. When your faith just meets the faith of Jesus Christ, when your faith is placed in him, believing that message about him, God will then give you his righteousness. Because God sees you trusting in the only thing and the only person who can save you. So you're telling God, God, I believe you. I believe you, and I'm going to trust in your Son and place my faith in his blood. Okay, now that's all explained on our website on the salvation page, but I just thought I'd give you a little primer, a little advertisement, a little encouraging words to go there. Because, heck, it doesn't really come up to Romans chapter 3, and that's going to be several weeks down the road. So let's get started here. So in Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, those faith coupled together brings about the righteousness of God. As it is written, an Old Testament quote, the just shall live by faith. Don't you want to be just in the eyes of God? Would you not like to avoid the great white throne judgment? You'll never have to go there. You can have your sin problem taken care of now, in this world, in the land of the living. So then you can live. All right, now we're going to get started. So, with this wonderful introduction to the book of Romans, we come to verse 18. And you say, okay, I'm excited. I want to hear about all these glad tidings of good things. And watch how God starts in Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And you're saying, whoa. That doesn't sound any good to me. Well, guess what? For the next 64 verses from Romans 1:18 to chapter 3, verse 20, they are 64 verses of the most evil tidings you have ever read in your life. Now, don't let that scare you away. That should encourage you. And give me a chance to explain why. How does that encourage you? Listen, you would never appreciate a Savior unless you knew you needed a Savior. How will you ever appreciate getting saved from hell if you don't know you're going to hell? How would you ever appreciate being saved if you don't know you're lost? Are you understanding? One time I can remember, this is kind of a funny story. You know, I used to be a big avid hunter. I wasn't any good, though. Never really got anything. My hunting license is paid for probably every game preserve in North America, and I probably brought home maybe 3 rough grouse. But anyways, I used to hunt rough grouse up in northern Minnesota, and there's this like little wild chicken that when the thing takes off scares the tar out of you. First time one took off, I dropped my shotgun. That's how much it scared me. But anyways, I was up there hunting one time, and I took a friend with me. I used to go by myself, believe it or not. That's probably not the smartest thing to do in the wilds of northern Minnesota. But hey, I'd go by myself, I'd have a gun with me and bring my police dog, and I think I'd be fine. Well, one day I took a friend of mine named Steve, and we got up there, and I'll tell you what, we weren't there for like, we went into this one section of the woods, and yeah, it really is a lot of wilderness. In fact, you can go straight back in our woods there, because the nearest town to us was like maybe, I don't know, Culver, Minnesota was probably 7 miles away, and I think the population was 12. You know, just a little post office and I think a couple houses. But if you went straight back in our woods, you could go for like 50 miles and not even see a road. And so the old timers up there used to say, yeah, don't go back there. He'd tell us when we were kids, because it was in our family since we were kids, and because you get lost back in there. So me and Steve go back there and we're hunting and everything. And we walked around looking for these grouse. And then we got lost. but I didn't know I was lost. All right. Now, this is hysterical to me. This guy, Steve, was some big guy. He thought first time he ever really been on a hunting trip, and we were pretty good friends. And so anyways, we're in there, and I thought for sure when I came to this clearing, I knew where I was. But, you know, you get kind of turned around in there because you're chasing all these goofy birds. And all of a sudden I got there, and I said, okay, I know where we're at. We'll come out here, and there's going to be this meadow, and then I'm going to see this and that. Well, we got there, and it was nothing like I described. So then I climbed this pine tree way up to the top, and I looked as far as I could look, and I couldn't see nothing I knew. And remember now, there's no cars. There's no, like, landmarks. There's no smokestacks of a far-off factory. There's no planes flying overhead. And plus, to make matters worse, it was a cloudy day, and I didn't have a compass. If I had one, I probably didn't know how to read it. I didn't even know what to do. So I came down, I said, well, I don't know where we're at. Now, I thought it was kind of funny, and he thought it was funny for about a minute, and this guy, he got to be such a little baby. Well, are we going to get out? Are we going to get out? I said, no, I think we're probably going to starve to death and die, you know, and so long story, we really truly were lost. We walked around for about 4 hours, which is the stupidest thing you can do when you're lost, and finally, way off in the distance, I heard a train whistle. And I knew where the train tracks were, and silly me, it was completely behind me. I thought I was walking towards the train tracks. So, yeah, good thing I heard the train, which probably comes by once every 3 weeks. So then we got out. I mean, obviously I'm here, so obviously I got out. But the point is, he didn't know he was fine, and even though we were lost, he didn't panic until he knew he was lost. So that is why God, and I'm going to show you out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ exactly why God's going to take 64 verses of the most evil tidings you ever read, okay? And they're hard. It's very hard, but it's truthful. And God's going to tell you why he can justly condemn us all and throw us all into a lake of fire. How can a creator even do such a thing if he is supposed to be the God who is all-loving? He is. And we're going to see how you have to understand he is so marvelous and so absolutely infinite in personality, how he can do it all. So you have to get a Bible view of God, not from the books of men, but from the Bible. Let me show you why. Go back one book to the left, you'll find the book of Acts. And in Acts chapter 26, you're going to see here what the Lord Jesus Christ told the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. Now, if I thought I could win you to salvation by skipping over this section, let's say if that worked, let's say, man, I don't know how to tell this to people. This is really hard. And then you got the other end of the spectrum, preachers who are like this. See, there's two kinds of preachers. There really is. There's the ones who preach truth to the ones who don't. All right? It's that simple. Now, some of these preachers out there, you've heard about them. They're going to sit there and condemn you to hell and preach hell, fire, brimstone, and all that. You know, I find it interesting that the Apostle Paul never one time used the word hell. Never one time. It is used in the Bible, and it's true. He talks about something far worse, the lake of fire. So they're really missing the boat. They're really not giving Paul proper credit. But this is why. Some of those preachers who just blast you with hell, okay, they may say they have good motives, but you're going to see in the scriptures how God presents it. And I'm not going to present it any more or any less than how he presents it. But then you got the other spectrum of preachers that never talk about hell, and they just try to win people over by telling them God is a God of love and mercy and peace. And that seems to be pretty popular these days. You know, honestly, if I wanted to scam people, I could just change my message. I could change my message to one that is very palatable to their ears, one that pleases their ears, causes their ears to tingle. And I could speak unto them smooth things. And I could make them feel real good about themselves. And I can drain their pocketbooks. You better believe it. It happens every day in mainstream Christianity. But that's not why I'm here. I'm here to tell you the truth as it's simply portrayed in the scriptures. Look in Acts chapter 26 and why the Lord Jesus Christ sent Paul to us in this world. He says in verse 16, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I, the Lord Jesus Christ, have appeared unto thee, Paul, for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee." Now watch what he tells Paul: to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Okay? And inheritance, that's after you're saved, among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. God Almighty wants to open your eyes. God Almighty wants to turn you from darkness to light. He wants to turn you from the power of Satan unto God. Now, in order to do those things, okay, in order to open your eyes, in order to turn you from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, why? That is why he does 64 verses of these evil tidings, because that is what it takes to get your attention. Now, look, I'm sorry it's that way. I'm really not. But if you think it should be another way, there is no other way to get people's attention that is biblical. Okay? But you'll notice as we go through these 64 verses, it's not this what you're probably used to. You're going to hell. You're going to hell there, you sinner. That's not how it's presented. This is very logical. This is very courtroom type, if I can put it like that. Now, I've been in many courtrooms in my day. The last one I was in, they threw me in federal prison. But prior to that, I was in many courtrooms as the good guy. And I have seen people who are guilty in court. There's rules and procedures by which the court follows. And at the end, when the verdict is brought forth, it's a no-brainer. Well, what God's going to do is the same thing. He's going to take these verses, and he's going to reason with you. But now listen. If you can't face the truth and be honest with yourself, God's not here to just tell you all these evil tidings and then when you get to the end say, "The end, see ya, have a nice time in the lake of fire." He's not doing that for that reason. He's trying to prepare your heart to appreciate and to value the hell his son went through on that cross for you. Okay? Because you will never value Jesus Christ. You will never believe in Jesus Christ or have faith in his blood as the payment for your sins until you see clearly how condemned we all are. So God loves you, yes. So just like a father who, you know, he's tried to reason with his son has done something rebellious, and that father has had to discipline him. That father disciplining his son did not do it because that father hated his son, but that father loved his son. Now, everyone's not God's children, so that's not the best illustration, but you get the point. We are all his creation, and as our creator, you're going to see what a wonderful creator he is, and he wants to be your father. Okay? So let's get some things taken care of. So when he starts in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, yes, he's going to start here with some evil tidings. And so let's go over it and just hang in there, and you'll see you have to believe the evil tidings, and it's all progressive. If anywhere along this route you don't believe it and you say, "I don't believe that," well, that's it. You're dead bang in the water, okay? So if you do get to a spot in here that you're listening and say, "Well, I don't believe that," I do encourage you, before you write off everything, okay, just email me or call me and we'll discuss it. Maybe I can bring more passages in to convince you. But if not, just hold on and you'll be fine. Hey, I went through it. Many have. And I do want you to wind up in heaven with all your sins forgiven. Okay? So Romans 1:18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Now that term, the wrath of God, the Apostle Paul and his message is revealing unto us what God's wrath is. Notice, when he says, for the wrath of God is revealed, that means it has not been revealed up to this point in the Scriptures. So when the Lord Jesus Christ reads about hell and judgment in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, this wrath is not that wrath. Is that wrath? Yes, it is. But there's something, believe it or not, worse than hell. Okay? The wrath the Apostle Paul is talking about is the lake of fire. Now, let's just take a look at it and how it's defined in the Scriptures. All right? Let's go to Revelation chapter 21. I'll make it real simple and just use one verse. Get Revelation 21 and then also get Revelation chapter 14. We've already seen the great white throne judgment, and clearly that's talking about the lake of fire. But I want to show you something. Get Revelation 14 and Revelation 21. Let's look at Revelation 14 first, and let's look at verse 10. Now, this just gives you a hint of what God's wrath is. Okay, Revelation 14, 10. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. Now, there's that phrase, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Now, Revelation 21, look at verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Actually, in the Scriptures, the second death, the lake of fire, is the sun. Okay? And that is where hell itself and every person who's ever done evil, from wicked Cain who killed his brother Abel and everyone after that who has not believed the message God had for him in the age in which they lived, is going to wind up. All right? Now, if it's even one millionth true, you don't want to go there. Okay? So, for the wrath of God is revealed, back to Romans 1:18, from heaven, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, I want everybody to kind of clear your mind, and let's just be honest in the privacy of your own heart. At one point, I guarantee you, I'm going to show you something here in Romans 1. We may not finish tonight, may have to wait till Lord willing Tuesday. But God is going to describe some things in here about himself. And at one point, these things were true that you believed. See, what God wants you to understand is we all have a understanding of God. Of however we've come to that understanding is not the issue. Some of us view God as powerful and a being or a presence or all these various and sundry things. But the Bible is going to tell us how to view him, because God wrote that book through men telling them what to write regarding his own self. So it's really safe to have a view of God from the Scriptures. Okay, so let's try that view. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. There is a realm of truth that every person born into this world holds in them. Okay, they hold this truth. Verse 19 now, what is it? Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. There's some things which can be known of God and may be known of God, and it's manifest in them. Now, we know what manifest means. It means shown. Shown where? Manifest where? In them. Deep inside of you, there are some things known of God that you know. Watch this. For God hath showed it unto them. What? For the invisible things of him. There's some three things about God in this chapter that you know. Watch this. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Now, this stuff isn't hard to figure out. God says it's clearly seen. What are they? Being understood by the things that are made. You know, when you look at creation, you know some things about the Creator, even his eternal power and Godhead. so that they are without excuse. And the two things in this passage that we all know about God through creation is he has eternal power over us. He has Godhead authority over us. And verse 32 says, we know we're going to face him in judgment. Look with me back at the book of Psalms regarding creation. Okay, Psalms. I'll give you some real simple verses to understand. There's dozens and dozens of creation verses. But look at Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language, where their voice, the heaven's voice, is not heard. You know, when you look up at the beautiful heavens, whether it's daytime or nighttime, and you see the sun, the moon, the stars, the beautiful sky, that teaches you that there's a powerful creator. Look in Job chapter 12. Job chapter 12 in verse 7. But ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee. Look how smart the animals are. And the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee, or speak to the earth. It's a living creature, the earth, by the way. And it shall teach thee. And the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee, who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. Now, as we close out today's program, I want you to think of something over the weekend, because tomorrow we're going to be doing all authority, a different subject. And if you have questions over the weekend, that's okay. Email me or call me, and I'll try to help answer them. But this is what I want you to think about. For the next several days, as you walk around and see creation, be honest. If you'll just look at creation and be honest with yourself, there's three things you know about the Creator. You know that he has eternal power over you, and that he has Godhead authority over you. And yes, you will face him in judgment. So don't hide from that. Don't let that scare you away. Because the same Creator who has tremendous power over you, the same Creator who has Godhead authority over you, and this same Creator that you will face him in judgment, sent his Son so that you would not have to face judgment, because his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, took all of that judgment for you. So it's not like he's some tyrant. He's the most loving Creator ever. In fact, he is the only one. And he wants to be your Father when you trust in his Son. So listen all the time here to the Scriptures Alone Bible School. Go to our salvation message. And as always, do your homework. Which is what? Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. My sincere love unto you all in Christ Jesus our Lord. Farewell.